heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. But we've got to work our way there. We've got to go back to where we left off in chapter 11. Before we get, the ending of the story is always the best. But sometimes you got to go through how you get there. And when we're in Revelation, that's a long road from Revelation chapter 4, verse 1 to chapter 21 and chapter 22, that new heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem, new body, new everything. We've got to get through the rough parts first. In chapter 11 and verse number 15, we'll read down to the end of the chapter, just a few verses tonight. Revelation chapter 11, verse number 15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell down upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give Thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because Thou hast taken to Thee Thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and Thy wrath is come, and the time of the dead that they should be judged, and that Thou shouldest give rewards unto Thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear Thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. And the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in His temple the ark of His testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. We're looking tonight in verse 15 down to verse 19 at the third woe. Last time we saw the two witnesses. Now we're looking at the third woe. You remember what we mean by the third woe? Look back at chapter 8 and verse 13. Chapter 8 and verse 13, and John said, I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels which are yet to sound. Or after the sounding of that fourth trumpet, there were three trumpets, the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpets yet to sound. And the angel said, woe, woe, woe. Because of the agony he knew was to come upon the earth when those next three trumpets sounded. The fifth trumpet sounds in chapter 9, verse 1. And we read down in verse number 12. One woe is past when that angel sounds in chapter 9, verse 1. And the bottomless pit is opened and those creatures come out of it. We've covered all that. In verse 12, one woe is past. Behold, there come two woes more hereafter. In verse 13, the sixth angel sounds. That second woe begins to be poured out upon the earth. The river, the angels loose the waters in the river Euphrates, and it dries up, and these horsemen come and attack, and all these things that happen, and they repent not because of their evil deeds. And you look down, if you would, to chapter 11 and verse number 14, where we ended last week, and it says, the second woe is past. It ended in verse 13 with the same hour was a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell, and the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And it says in verse 14, the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And then in verse 15 to 19 that we read tonight, this is the third woe. Again, this is we've seen the opening of the seven seals, now the sounding of the seven trumpets. That brings us to the middle of the tribulation period for these things that are happening in chapter 10 and chapter 11. I want you to notice in these five verses that we look at tonight, I want you to see, first of all, in verse 15, the sounding of the angel. In verse 15, the sounding of the angel. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven. When the seventh angel sounds, it's the third woe. It's not going to be good news. It's not going to be the power of positive thinking. It's going to be another disaster upon the inhabitants of the earth. But the Bible says that there were voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. When that seventh trumpet sounds, and when that third woe comes to pass, heaven rejoices. That's a difficult thing to understand. That heaven is going to rejoice while the earth experiences the wrath of God. Who is it that rejoices in heaven? Well, it says there were great voices in heaven. I would contend that this is not the church, and we're going to see, because in verse 16, 17, and 18, I believe that's the church singing a song, as it were, in those verses. So these voices are not the church. Maybe they're the Old Testament saints. Maybe they're the angels, the host of heaven. I don't know. But around the throne of God in heaven, someone is going to be rejoicing when God's judgment is poured out down here on earth. Now, I guarantee that those that are down here are not rejoicing. We're going to talk about them in just a moment. But those of it that have escaped the wrath to come, those that are up in heaven watching this, they are rejoicing because God is claiming to himself all those things that rightfully belong to him, that the devil has had control of for so many centuries now. That mankind has utterly destroyed in so many years. Notice it says at the end of verse 18, shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth. That's not talking about environmentalism. That's not talking about destroying the earth is polluting the waters and cutting down the trees. Destroying the earth is talking about the sin and the evil and the wickedness and the iniquity that man has overrun this planet with. And one of these days, God's going to destroy those that destroyed this earth. But when he does, the voices in heaven are rejoicing. That's an amazing thing when we think of the contrast that's going to happen here in just a moment. But notice what they're rejoicing about in verse 15. They're rejoicing saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Notice the plural. The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. See, one of these days, God's going to become the king of all the kingdoms. God is going to be the king of Iraq. He's going to be the king of Saudi Arabia. He's going to be the king of the United States of America. He's going to be king of all the kingdoms of the earth. Every nation, every land, everything that's here right now, one of these days, God is going to rule each and every country. We read in the Bible about the nations, all the way even to Revelation 22, and the nations of them that fear God will walk in the light of it. Nationalities are going to stay there, nations are going to stay there, but God is going to become the God of every single nation. Now, here's why that's important. Look back at Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Remember the temptations that the devil gave to the Lord Jesus Christ as he was just beginning his earthly ministry. What the devil wanted to do is fast track Jesus Christ. So what do you mean by fast track, preacher? Well, when you just say, why go through what you're going to go through? Why endure the rejection you're going to have? Why do endure the opposition you're going to have? Why endure the persecution you're going to have? He says to him, if you will just bow down right now and worship me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the earth right now. You won't have to wait till Revelation chapter 19. You won't have to wait till all those thousands of years in the future. I'll give it to you right now. Look in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into the exceeding high mountains and showeth him all the, notice this word, kingdoms, plural. All the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto them, all these things, these kingdoms will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. See, Satan is in control of the nations. You wonder why the world's a mess it is. Because Satan's in control. You wonder why even in America, when we try to push righteousness or try to do the right things, there's such an outcry of evil around it. Because Satan's in control. Not only of the nations of the earth, but he's the prince and the power of the air. That's why one of these days God's going to have to remake everything over again. Because everything has been corrupted. The earth has been corrupted by man, by the devil's influence. The heavens themselves have been corrupted by the devil. Even the heaven of the heavens where God dwells. Satan entered there in the book of Job. And everything that Satan and man touches has been defiled. So God is going to, Revelation 22, that's where I'm at in my study in Revelation right now, so you'll forgive me if my mind keeps running to the future already. But that's why he's going to make all things new. But he's going to become the God of the kingdoms. You know why that's important? Again, folks, you've got the right Bible in your lap. And I hope you don't get tired of me emphasizing this. But I want you to understand this. That all the modern Bibles take that plural and make it singular. Not kingdoms, but kingdom of the earth. No, he's going to rule over every individual kingdom. When people mess with the Bible, they have no idea what they're doing. It's a sickness. They need to leave it alone. I like this. We were talking with Mitch and Nora Zajac at lunchtime today. And when Mitch met Nora, she was in a bad church. All right, she was in a contemporary church, a modern church with the wrong music and the wrong Bible and the wrong dress standards. I mean, everything was just bad. And he told me today, he ran, you know, this morning he put some one-liners out there so fast that I wish he'd have slowed down so we could have got them. But that's the way those evangelists are. You know, they're used to saying it, so they fly right through it. I want to stop the tape and hear what he said. And he said something, and I made him stop because I heard it, and I wanted to make sure I catch it. He said that when he met Nora, she was NIV positive. And I thought that was hilarious. I said, wait, what was that? She was NIV, you know, like HIV positive. Well, she was NIV positive. And I thought, man, that's good. And that's the problem. They're sick. Churches today are sick. And they've got these Bibles that are messing with the words. And what is it? Well, they're anemic. They're messing with the blood of Christ. They're messing with the things of the Word of God. And no wonder their music is sick and their dress standards are sick and their Bibles are sick and their Christianity is sick. Because they're NIV positive. And so that's kind of a humorous thing, but it really explains the modern church and the modern culture that's out there. And here we find that he's not going to be the God of the kingdom of the earth, but of the kingdoms of the earth. And again, that's important because as you read through Revelation, all the nations come before him. It's a plural thing, not a singular thing. And some guy that decided to change that, and all the ESV and the NIV and all of them do it, just did it because they had no idea what they're messing with when they mess with the Word of God. They're sick. And that's the problem. So here we have the great voices in heaven rejoicing because the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of our Christ. Now let me ask you this. You know the world you live in right now? You know the flow of society in the day we live in? You know the mindset of the world today and the mindset even of many Christians. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes back down here to claim this as his own and does what he's going to do, do you think the world's going to rejoice? You think they're going to be happy? Well, finally, he's going to come and fix all the ills of this planet. He's going to, now we all rejoice when he straightens out everybody else. But he's going to come down and straighten everything out right now. Do you think this lost world, I mean, there's a lot of Christians that aren't going to appreciate that. Much less this lost, God-hating world is not going to appreciate that. So while the voices in heaven are rejoicing, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Notice what the world does in verse number 18. And the nations were angry. Isn't that something? While those in heaven are rejoicing because the Savior, the God of the world, the Creator of everything, is come down and reclaiming that which belongs to Him, the world is angry. We live in an angry world right now. We'll not have this man to reign over us is the common theme of what's going on in the world today. They don't want anything to do with God. And they sure don't want him ruling and reigning. They don't want him telling them what to do. And man's nature has not changed and it's not going to change. The nations were angry. In Psalm chapter 2 and verse 1, you might just write down the reference. Psalm chapter 2 and verse 1. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. Why do the heathen rage? That's the problem with the world. The nations were angry. Man is stubborn and rebellious to the end. Even as God is pouring out his wrath upon this earth, the inhabitants of this earth are cursing God, shaking their fist in his face, defying him to the very end. And the nations were angry. Notice it says also in verse number 18, I missed the end of verse 17, didn't I? Because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. That's who he was. Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come. The 24 angels. I'm just speed through. I'm passing everything here. Verse 16, the 24 elders. Again, that's representative of the church. Sat before God on their seats. Well, what else would they sit on? They sat before God on their seats. I love the Bible. They sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshiped Him. You know what we do in heaven? People say, what are you going to do in heaven? We're going to worship God. Well, what are we going to do after that? Well, after that, we'll worship God. Well, what are we going to do after that's done? Well, after that, we'll worship God. So it sounds boring. It does to you in your human body. It does to you in this lazy flesh that doesn't want to give honor and glory to God. But up in heaven, and it's, I don't know if it's continuous, because here's what, we met these 24 elders back in chapter 4. In chapter 4, they were seated upon the seats around the throne, and we saw at that time that they are a picture of the church. And so these 24 elders, every time they're mentioned, they are us in heaven when we get there. No longer called the church, we're called the 24 elders, is what the Bible refers to it as. And beginning in chapter 4, they're sitting around the throne, and when the four beasts start giving praise to God, the 24 elders that are sitting on their seats fall down before Him and begin to worship Him and say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." In chapter 5, and verse 8 and verse 14. When those tribulation saints show up in heaven after what they've gone through and they start praising God, you know what happens? The 24 elders that are seated on their seats fall down before the throne and say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Every time, there's 5 times in the book of Revelation that somebody starts praising God, and every time they do, the 24 elders fall down on their faces and begin to praise God. You say, what are we going to do in heaven? We're going to praise Him, then we'll take a short break while somebody else starts doing it, and then once they start doing it, we'll jump into it again. And we're going to do that for eternity. Now, I don't know what else we do. I don't think there's holy ping pong. You know, yeah, we want to paint a picture of heaven as anything you enjoy on earth is going to be that glorified in heaven. Well, that's very sentimental. You can have your log cabin on the backside of glory, you know, all that kind of, those are nice sentimental songs. We really don't know what it's going to be like up there. And the reason is because even if I knew, now Paul was taken up to the third heaven. He was shown what it's like up there, and he was sent back, and God told him, don't even try to write it down. Because they won't understand it. Our minds cannot comprehend what heaven's like. Therefore, we understand hell. We understand burning. We understand darkness. We can understand fire and brimstone. We got no problem. But we can't understand what heaven's like. So you go to the preacher and say, "Preacher, what's heaven like?" And I can just go, "I don't know. I'd like a phone call to Roberta right now. I'd love a direct line and just say, hey, what's going on up there right now? You know, that lady with the cerebral palsy, with all the infirmities and all that, now is running around glory. I'd like to, and she'd probably hang up on me. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to take time to talk to you. You'll be up here soon enough. You can see it for yourself. I have not seen, nor ear heard, the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him. We couldn't understand heaven if we saw it right now. One of these days we will. And when we do, you know what we're going to do? Fall down before Him and say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." That sure beats falling down on your knees in a lake of fire and confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. We need to confess that now. Get that taken care of here so we can see the better part when we get to heaven. All right, so the 24 elders fall down and they say in verse 17, "We give thee thanks." Heaven is going to be a celebration of thanksgiving. No turkey and cranberry sauce, but it's going to be an eternal celebration of thanksgiving. We are going to see ourselves as we were. Now we're up there now, so not as we are, but as we were. Right now we think we're pretty good. We think we're okay. We recognize that we're sinful creatures, but we really don't recognize how sinful we are. Once we get up there, we will know how sinful we were, and we will give thanks. That's why we'll keep falling down on our knees. It'll never get old. It'll always be refreshing. We give thanks, thanking them, thanking Him, because Thou hast taken to Thee all these nations, the kingdoms of the earth, Thou which art and wast and art to come, the Eternal One. And the nations were angry. I'm catching up now on my notes to where I've already gotten in my mind. Verse 18, and the nations were angry. And the time of the dead. What's the time of the dead? I saw a throne and Him that sat upon it, from whose face the heavens and earth fled away, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things that were written therein. That's Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. When we get to Revelation chapter 11, Revelation 20 is only 3 years away. It's about to come. This last half of the tribulation is going to pass so quickly. You think the first half did. The second half is going to pass so fast that He's saying it's time. The Lord's going to come in just a few short chapters. And it's going to be the time of the judging of the dead. Those that have died without Christ, that's the judgment of the dead. If you died in Christ, you're not dead. You're alive. You're alive in Christ. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But the Bible said the judgment of the dead is going to come. That's Revelation 20. Verse 18 says that they should be judged, and that Thou shouldest give reward unto Thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear Thy name, small and great. And you say, no, wait a minute, preacher. Giving rewards, that's the judgment seat of Christ, isn't it? But that's already happened by Revelation chapter 11. So that can't be the judgment seat of Christ. That's got to be a reward that's yet future from Revelation chapter 11. Well, what would that reward be? Look back, if you would, at Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Let's see what the reward for the faithful is that hasn't occurred yet by the middle of the tribulation. The judgment seat of Christ has already been going on. But what reward is going to be given from this point forward? Well, in Luke chapter 19, we have the parable of the talents. The parable of the talents. Luke chapter 19. And verse number 12, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. All right, here's a parable. The certain nobleman is going to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And he called his 10 servants and delivered unto them 10 pounds. Now, most of us are trying to lose pounds. But he gave them 10 pounds. If it had been me, I'd have been complaining right there. And said unto them, occupy till I come. That means serve me till I come. Pounds, of course, is Old English. That's money. All right? He gave them, let's use dollars. It was more than dollars. But let's say he gave them $10, maybe $10,000. And he said, use this wisely till I come back. Verse 14, but his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. They rejected Jesus Christ. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, that he commanded these servants, to whom he called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. All right, the man invested his $10,000 or whatever it was, and it gained $10,000 more. That's a good servant right there. And he said unto him in verse 17, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Now, isn't that odd? The man that's going away and says, I'm going to come back, and when I come back, I'm going to entrust you with these talents, these pounds. When I come back, I'm going to require it of you. And the man says, Lord, I've doubled what you gave me. And he says, that's great. Have authority over 10 cities. Now, as far as I can tell, that man at that point didn't become the mayor of 10 cities. He didn't become the governor of 10 states. So this is a parable of something that's going to be given, that the Lord is going to reward those that faithfully serve Him. Verse 18, the second came saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. All right, this guy didn't do quite as good as the first guy. He used what he had, but he still increased it by 5 pounds. And he said likewise unto him, be thou over 5 cities. You know the third guy, the sore loser. Then came another guy, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. I took that 10,000 and I buried it. For I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that which thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. All right, the first man invested, the second man invested, and the Lord said, you're going to rule, you're going to reign, you're going to have authority over cities. I believe the reward in Revelation chapter 11 and verse number 18 is to those that faithfully served him. The reward is during that millennial kingdom which is yet to come in Revelation chapter 11. We're going to rule and reign with Christ. And we're going to rule and reign over cities down here. Did you know you're going to be you might be the mayor of Bysville in the millennium? You might be the mayor of Pleasant City. You might be the mayor of Cleveland, Ohio. You might be the mayor of Los Angeles, California. I don't know if that's a good reward or a bad reward. Giving you that. But in the millennial reign, according to our labors here on earth, He's entrusted us, folks, with abilities, with talents. He's entrusted us, as it were, with pounds. And we serve Him faithfully, not to get to heaven, but to gain the reward once heaven is open to us. And one of these days, that new heaven, that new earth, that new Jerusalem, we'll get into that later, we're going to rule and reign over cities according to our faithful living right now. So how are you and I living our lives? The time that thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets and the saints and them that fear thy name. For the time, it says in verse 18, and shouldest destroy them that destroy the earth. Again, we mentioned that already. That's not talking about saving the environment, but that's talking about the effect of sin and evil and wickedness upon the planet. That's how man's destroying the world right now. And those that are worried about the trees, and sometimes rightfully so. Those that are worried about pollution, and sometimes rightfully so. I mean, there should be some common sense involved in this. We don't want to purposely trash everything. But the environmentalists, as you know, get out of hand and go a little wild on all that stuff. That's not what he's talking about. And the worst way we corrupt this earth is by sin and wickedness. And the whole earth groaneth and travaileth in pain until now. Not because we're cutting down its trees. Not because we're polluting its soil. But because this earth was made to be a perfect habitat for a perfect man, and man ruined it, and it groaneth and travaileth in pain till now. Till God comes and makes all things new. Verse number 19. And the temple of God was opened in heaven. You know what I like about chapter 11? It started in the temple of God. Back in the beginning of this chapter, and there was given to me a reed like unto a rod, and an angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But the court that is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. That temple is an earthly temple. John's told to measure it. And the outside court belongs to the Gentiles, and they're going to come in. And all this stuff is talking about earthly in verse 1 and 2. But in verse number 19, and the temple of God was opened in heaven. The temple of God's in that third heaven, the dwelling place of God. And John saw in the temple of God was open, and he said, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament. Many things are opened in Revelation. Back in chapter 4 and verse 1, a door was opened in heaven. In chapter 6, 1 through 9, the seals were opened. In chapter 9, verse 2, the bottomless pit was opened. In chapter 11, verse 19, in this verse, and again in chapter 15 and verse 5, the temple in heaven is opened. In chapter 19 and verse 11, heaven itself is opened. And a rider comes down, and in chapter 20 and verse 12, and the books were opened. A lot of things are opened in Revelation, because Revelation means unveiling, a revealing. And all these things are going to be opened up. And there was seen in his temple the ark of his testimony. You know what the ark is, don't you? Back in the book of Exodus, it's called the Ark of the Covenant. It was made for the children of Israel to carry around everywhere they went. It was put into the tabernacle as they wandered through the wilderness for all those years. It is a replica of what's already in heaven. And when John saw into the temple in heaven, he saw that ark of the testimony of God. And the Bible says in verse number 19, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. This is that third woe. You know, back in chapter 8 and verse 5, at the end of the seals, there were voices and lightnings and thunderings and an earthquake. In chapter 11, verse 19, we read about those. We'll read about them again in chapter 16 and verse 18 at the end of the vials. So at the end of the seals, at the end of the trumpets, at the end of the vials, these same four things, lightnings, voices, thunderings, and earthquakes come down from God out of heaven. Again, we go back, way back to where we started, and we said that many think that these three things, the opening of the seals, the opening of the trumpets, the opening of the vials, are the same story retold three times, because at the end the same thing happens each time. Now again, we won't go back and recover that ground, but there are too many reasons why that's not possible, more than why that is possible. But this does happen on these three times. Look at chapter 16 and verse number 18. And again, this will be at the end of the seven vials. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings and a great earthquake, such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. That earthquake at the end of the seven vials is greater than the earthquake after the seven seals, and greater than the earthquake after the seven trumpets. It's going to be a greater earthquake than even those two were, as God's judgment is more vicious upon this earth. Now back there in Revelation 11, it said in great hail. Notice down in verse 21. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceeding great. Can you imagine? The lightnings, the thunders, the voices, the earthquakes, and a great hail. A talent is, they say, about 100 pounds. Can you imagine 100 pound hail? The hail we get down here sometimes is big enough to put dents in cars. That hail will take out a car. That hail is going to be 100 pounds each. I was mentioning to Brother Lewis in the office right before I came. I was on social media this afternoon, and I just came across somebody that I know posting something, and I thought, well, how doesn't that fit tonight? They were talking about Revelation 16 and verse 21. And they said what the real meaning of that is that in 70 AD, when Jerusalem was destroyed, they had catapults, and in the catapults, the Romans put 100-pound stones in there, and they cast those stones upon Jerusalem and destroyed Jerusalem in 70 AD by those 100-pound stones that they lost. There's more than one problem with that, but the main problem is that said it was hail, not stones. Hail from heaven, not stones from a Roman army. When we try to explain away the supernatural in the Bible, we really put ourselves in a difficult situation. You know what I believe is going to happen? I believe there's going to be thunders and voices and earthquakes and lightnings and a great hail that's going to come down out of heaven that nobody's... And this doesn't happen until chapter 16 and verse number 21. That's after that seventh vial is poured out. And it is going to destroy the inhabitants of the earth, destroying them that has destroyed the world. These are the things that are to come. We're only in chapter 11. We're only halfway through the book. We're halfway through the 22 chapters. And look what's happened. Look what the Bible forecasts for the future down through these days. You know, the best thing you can be sure of is checking out in Revelation 4:1. Making sure that when the doors opened in heaven and a trumpet sounds and a voice says, come up hither, that you hear the voice. We've talked about this before. Those that are not saved, those that are not regenerate, those that are not born again are not going to hear the words come up hither. They're going to say, I think I just heard some thunder. You don't want to hear thunder. You want to hear come up hither. Well, how do you hear that? By going to church regularly? By being a good person? By giving money to missions? And all those things are good. But that's not how you get guaranteed to hear come up hither. You do that by making Jesus Christ your Lord and your Savior, by committing your heart and your life to Him. And all, so many in this world are missing that step right there, thinking their church will get them there, or their pastor will get them there, or their good works will get them there, or their generosity will get them there. The only thing they get, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the only way to avoid all these things and be among those that are up in heaven saying, blessed be the Lord God Almighty, while the inhabitants of the earth are angry. Don't be in the wrong group. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.